Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hebrews 11. Okay, I'm just going to tell you up front. This chapter represents one of the great mountain peaks of Scripture. And the next two hardly let up after that. Just glorious. I'm honestly a little intimidated, but I hope to do it justice. Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Faith. As a kid, I loved visiting the Hall of Champions, sports heroes, pictures, trophies, medals, balls, helmets, and gloves from some of the all-time greatest. And the stories, what they overcame, what they accomplished. As a wide-eyed kid, I just stared and wondered, how did they do it? Here in Hebrews, the preacher wants you to see them, the heroes of faith. As we turn the pages of Scripture, he wants you to see each story in your mind's eye. But now we look at them as pictures in a great gallery. You know them already, the great Bible stories. But now we look at them as pictures in a great gallery of heroes. Have you ever looked at a photograph and found yourself riveted? Every picture tells a story, but it's not just the story. It's something in the eyes of one person. The eyes reveal something. They see something that isn't in plain view, not to us nor the other folks in the picture. And that something changes the whole story. Now the preacher finished off chapter 10 with a quote from Habakkuk, "But my righteous one will live by faith." He's talking to a group of believers who have placed their confidence in God's promises and their hope in Christ. And he calls them to persevere. But life was hard. Following Jesus, for this group, was even harder. How are they to live right when so much is wrong? The righteous will live by faith. Righteous means right with God, and there are two key aspects, being right and doing right in God's sight. When you're right with God, faith is what you live by. So what is faith? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I like that. Faith is confidence. The Greek word isn't a feeling of confidence, but more a surety of what is real. It's a word used for that which has actual existence, has a foundation in reality. Faith reminds us that what we hope for is not a wish or dream. Our hope has a foundation in reality. And faith is also assurance of what we do not see. That Greek word means proof or evidence. Faith is evidence. We don't prove God's faithfulness by seeing. We prove it by living. Living by faith. That's the evidence. And we will see it in every picture in our Hall of Faith. The first image in the gallery takes us to the very beginning. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So the first picture is creation itself. And the eyes, in this case, are not a person in the image, but your own eyes. How do you see the origin of the universe? This isn't about evolution. It's before all that. Formation. What formed the universe? The laws of nature tell us that something cannot come from nothing. Mass, energy, order, they all come from. Science demands it. Yet science doesn't tell us what came before. Was it all founded on nothing? By faith, we understand that it was God's command, His word. Our faith doesn't wish it true or make it true. Rather, faith recognizes the truth of what we can't see. By faith, we understand what is real. Next image in the hallway, Cain and Abel, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Notice the phrase, by faith. He says it again, by faith. He was commended as righteous. Why does he keep using those two words? Because the righteous will live by faith. He's showing us what that looks like. In every portrait, for every hero, faith is how they live. He's showing us what that looks like. In every portrait, for every hero, faith is how they live. Why was Abel's offering better? because he had faith. Next picture, Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. Remember him? Walked with God, then taken up. And he was commended as one who pleased God. That's a big deal. Every relationship begs the question, what does it take to please them? So, how about God? Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To please God, you must believe he exists. The greatest transformation of the human soul begins with the simple conviction that God is. That's it. Sink those two words deep into your core. God is. And second, believe that he rewards those who are genuine in seeking him. He will respond. Seek and you will find. Next portrait, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Noah gives a new dimension to faith. He believed God's word regarding things not yet seen and acted on it. And verse 7 goes on, and he became an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So Noah was righteous in both senses. First, he believed God's word, and God saw him righteous, being right. Then he acted on it, living right. Both happened by faith. Next photo, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Look closely at Abraham's photo. He's lost. Living in tents, traveling hundreds of miles to a place he's never seen or heard about. He doesn't know where he's going. But God said go, and by faith he went. This is where faith goes beyond mere belief to trust, and it goes beyond mere action to obedience. Trust and obey. And here in Abraham's story, we see another aspect of faith that will become a common theme. He was a pilgrim. Look closely at the photo. Abraham lives in a tent, a stranger in a foreign land, no home, but his eyes are fixed on God's promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. There's Sarah. She's just as much a hero. Sure, she laughed, but she's right here in the hall of faith. In verse 11, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Notice that Sarah's faith was not in her own ability or her situation, nor was it faith in the power of faith. Faith is not the power of my belief. It is my view of God and my trust in his power. She considered him faithful. As we continue down the hall, as each amazing story passes, the preacher pauses to help us see some common themes. In verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Hold on, they died without receiving what was promised? Yep, they only saw them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. In other words, their faith was eternal. Their promised land was not of this world. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Moving down the hall, we see it in Abraham, who believed God's promise, even if Isaac died. In Isaac and Jacob, when they blessed their sons regarding their future. In Joseph, who had phenomenal faith through betrayal, slavery, prison, famine. Yet the picture here in the hall is the day that Joseph gave instructions to carry his bones into the promised land centuries later. His faith saw God's faithfulness beyond his own death. Moses' parents saw beyond Pharaoh's death threat, and Moses saw beyond the wealth of the palace and the pleasures of sin. He looked ahead to his reward, and in 27, he persevered. Because he saw him who is invisible. That's powerful. How do you persevere through hard trials? How do you keep going? Moses saw the invisible, not the imaginary. He saw the reality of the invisible God. The preacher picks up the pace, image after image, story after story. Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Deborah, Samuel, David, Daniel, the grand testimony of the Old Testament. Through faith, they conquered, they administered justice, shut the mouths of lions. Some received back their dead. Others held faith as they were put to death, knowing they would receive a better resurrection. Verse 38, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. I know, we all want faith to save us from suffering, but faith is more than just believing God is able. Faith is trusting that God is faithful, whether or not he does what we want him to do. Faith doesn't change the reality of suffering, but it does change us through it. And the preacher closes with one last look down the hall. Look over the pictures. See their struggle. And see the look in their eyes. See how they lived by faith. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.